Well, as we said, it is nice to see everyone who's managed out this afternoon. Can we read, please, in John chapter 14? John chapter 14. So we've been looking at the I am sayings of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel. And this is the second last of those. And in John chapter 14, it says this in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that will do us for our reading. And we do trust with God's blessing. So these I am sayings of the Lord Jesus, as we have said over and over again, are pointers to us, they are reminders to us about who this person is that we're dealing with. They are a reminder to us that this person that we're dealing with is unique. That is why in John chapter 8, for example, in that first of the I am sayings, he is able to say this, I am the bread of life. And he's able to speak in John chapter 10, John chapter 8, as well, about that woman who is caught in the act of adultery. When he declares that she should go and sin no more, he's able to say, I am the light of the world. And he's able to say in John chapter 10, he's able to say, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. He's able to say in John chapter 10 again, I am the good shepherd. And John chapter 11, which is where we were the last time, we were at the grave of a man called Lazarus. And he was in that grave and had been for 4 days. And he was beyond help in every conceivable way. And the Lord Jesus stands speaking to his sister and says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks that critical, that fundamental question. Believest thou this? Because only in believing that Jesus Christ alone is the way by which a man, woman, boy or girl might be saved, only through believing that can a person be saved. And so he doesn't just give her a load of information and say, I am the resurrection and the life. But he asks her that question which we ask you. Believest thou this? Do you believe what it is you're being told? And at this point now, we have moved away away from a grave and we're in an upper room. And the Lord Jesus is with those who are his own. Those 12 disciples of his that have been with him so regularly and have followed him so closely and have heard him teach. And at the end of John chapter 13, he says this, whither I go, thou canst not follow, but thou shalt follow me afterward. And Peter makes a very grand prediction, which ultimately he will fulfil, but which in the short term he will fail to meet. He says, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. See, these disciples, they're getting very agitated. These men have left everything for the Lord Jesus. They do say that to him. They say, we've left everything. We've left father and mother and wives and businesses and all of these kind of things. And the Lord Jesus says to them, well, where I'm going, at this moment you cannot follow me, but you will follow me afterwards. And in verse 14, It's verse 1, sorry, of chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Just in an upper room, with probably just those 12 men, who were so worried about what the future held, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God, believe also in me. And he says to them, listen, the promises of God are reliable. The promises of God are trustworthy. You can guarantee that if God says something, it's going to come to pass. He says, if you believe God in heaven, he says, I am here on earth. And he says, I am God. And I am absolutely in every single way like the God that's out there in heaven. He says, you believe God, believe me as well. He says, what I'm about to tell you can be relied upon. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, or probably better, there are many rooms. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And here's the Lord Jesus. He is on earth. And here's the Lord Jesus, and he's sitting in a room with these 12 men. And here's the Lord Jesus, and they can touch him. And they can see him. And he says, but there's going to be a moment in time when you won't be able to see me anymore. But in going from this earth, I'm going with a very, very specific purpose: to prepare a place for you. And so he says, you can trust my promises. And he says, I'm going to heaven, and I have a very specific purpose. And then he says this: if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. The world at large, maybe you're among them, maybe you think that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, that was him finished. Maybe when they took him down and they laid him behind a stone in a grave, maybe you considered him finished. You know, the people of the day considered him finished. And they put a stone over the grave, and they put a seal on the stone, and they said, this deceiver, while he was yet alive, he said that he would rise again from the dead, but we don't believe him. And we'll do anything to prevent anyone else from believing him. And so they put that seal over the stone, and they put guards at the door, and they said, well, he's finished. But the Bible is clear in this. 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And maybe you believe that. And he was buried. But then it says this: he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And we sometimes finish preaching there, but it says in the next verse, and he was seen. And the Bible tells us that at one point, in one place, there were over 500 men who saw him, raised again from the dead. And Peter, who says down in verse 37 of chapter 13, I will lay down my life for your sake. He will, unfortunately, while the Lord Jesus is on earth, deny he ever knew him. But when he sees him raised again from the dead, he is so convinced of what he has seen that he's willing to die for him. And you maybe know that story that we have from history, that Peter, counting himself not worthy to die the same way as the Lord Jesus, was crucified upside down. He said, I'm willing to lay down my life for your sake. And he dies clinging on to this truth, that Christ is risen from the dead. It's not just an Easter truth. It's a whole life and a whole of eternity truth. And it's the only way that I can be saved truth, that Christ has been raised from the dead. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm going. The way that he was going was by the way of the cross, by the way of a grave, by the way of being raised out of that grave. And the Bible says at the beginning of the book of Acts that he went out to the Mount of Olives. and that those men who saw him physically raised from the dead would witness him being taken up into heaven. And being taken up into heaven, there's a promise made by angels who are standing by, and they say, this same Jesus, whom you see going, will in like manner come again. And the thing which gives me hope today is not just that Christ has died, though that is great. It is amazing that my sins have been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. It's not simply that Christ has been raised again from the dead, but the thing that gives me hope today, and gives the Christians hope today, is this fact that Christ is coming again to this world. And that first hymn that we sung says this: I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day when he will return to this world. He says, whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then a man asks him a question. And I love these kind of questions because they give birth to some of the greatest answers that we have in the Word of God. Lord, we know not whether thou goest. It was all a bit obscure as far as he was concerned. Thomas was the inquisitive type. He was the questioning type. He was the doubting type in John chapter 20. For in John chapter 20, when he sees, or when he doesn't see the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, he says, I don't believe it. But when he has the full facts laid before him in the person of the Lord Jesus, standing before him, he says, my Lord and my God. And maybe tonight you're here and the problem that you have is that you're just not convinced. You would love to believe these things, but that you're just not convinced by them. Or you just want to be absolutely... I know some people, and really the only thing that's keeping them back is that they feel they need to have all of the answers. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, actually. And how can we know the way? And what he's looking for is a big signpost. What he's looking for is maybe another book of rules. What he's looking for is perhaps a map that's going to just give him very clearly the way. I was chatting to somebody this afternoon, and they're supposed to be attending a family gathering next week, and it's in Glasgow, and he's never been at the house, and he doesn't know the way, and so he's just not going. Be very, very sad if you decided, well, it's just too complicated, I don't know the way, so I'm just not going to bother. Especially not when the Lord Jesus gives us the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm reading in the book of Acts at the minute, and all the way through the book of Acts, you know, this word Christian, you don't find it much in the book of Acts. Find it once. I call myself a Christian, but the New Testament doesn't very much. And the Apostle Paul, just where I was reading this morning, he's giving a defence of what he has been doing before the Roman government, and he says, I was a persecutor of that way. Because the Old Testament, or the New Testament Christians, were just described as those people who were of that way. They were followers of that way. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. You see, knowing the Lord Jesus is to know our destination. He says there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. These are not the places of fiction. They're not the places of imagination. The Lord Jesus speaks about these places in real terms. He cannot lie. We've already covered that. And in Luke 16, he speaks very clearly about one man who's in heaven and one man who's in hell. And if you were here last week or the week before, you would have heard that very, very clearly. But in Luke 16, there is a reality in the words of the Lord Jesus. There is a place called heaven and there is a place called hell. And you will be, I will be in one of these two places after I die. And he says, how can I know the way? He says, I am the way. And the Lord Jesus says, if I want to be sure about my destination, then the decision that I'm going to have to make is about whether I go on the right way. In Matthew chapter 7, and what is really one of the first long sermons of the Lord Jesus that we have recorded, we are pointed to this picture, and maybe you have seen the artwork of it up on a wall somewhere, of two roads and two destinies. And the Lord Jesus says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And what he is insisting upon is that we need to make a decision. A decision about our destination. And so when the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, what he is saying is this, that the only way that I can get to heaven is this way, the way of the Lord Jesus. It's a very, very exclusive message, the gospel. Oh, it's inclusive in the sense that it says all have sinned. And it's inclusive in the sense that it says all may come. But it's very exclusive in the sense that it says, but if you're coming, there's only one way. There's a song that sometimes we would sing with the children that says, one way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. Not only does he speak about the fact that he is the way, and in that way he tells us we can be sure about our destination, but he says, I am the truth. And then the truth would imply that we have to make a decision. Not popular in the world today is the suggestion that someone has to be wrong. Maybe you are like that. Maybe you say things like this. Well, as long as that works for you. Maybe you say, I have my own faith. Or I have my church. Or, well, I just keep to myself and my faith is private. Well, the Lord Jesus says, you can't have your own faith. Not if it's different from the faith that's being preached here today. You can't have your own thoughts if they're different from what we find in the Word of God. You can't be expecting to get to heaven by your own way if that way is different from the way that is being preached here today. It's absolutely clear. He says, I am the truth. There's a man who asks the Lord Jesus, a man called Pontius Pilate, asks the Lord Jesus at his trial. He says, what is truth? And what he's saying is this. He was about 2,000 years ahead of his time. He was saying, you know, everybody's truth is equally valid. If I think one thing and you think another, well, that's fine. It's all going to work out all right in the end. The Lord Jesus says, I can't possibly be the case. Someone has to be wrong. If you and I are going to a destination, and I set out to go on one road, and you set to go out on the other road, and they're facing in completely opposite directions, you cannot possibly say to me, and I cannot possibly say to you, well, I'll meet you there. Because we're heading in completely different directions. And if someone believes the truth and someone believes a lie, then they cannot possibly reach the same conclusion. That's just logic. And it is illogical to say, and I have people say to me regularly, that, well, what suits you might not suit me. What is right for you as far as eternity is concerned might not be right for me. I have my own thoughts. I have my own faith. The Bible says this, that there is truth. The Lord Jesus says in John 17, your word, the Bible, is truth. If I don't believe what is written in the Bible, then according to the Bible, I believe a lie. The way speaks about my destination. And the truth tells me I have to make a decision. The life, you know, that affects the way I die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we read these I am statements, there is one thing that comes up over and over again. And you maybe say, it's the I am bit. That's true, that's in all seven of them. But there is another little word, just a four-letter word that pops up over and over again. Life. Life. In John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. In John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Another little song that we sing with the kids, it says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, this is the most important part. Without the life, there is no living. In 1 Corinthians 15, where we read about those verses that I spoke about earlier that say that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he was seen. The point of the Apostle Paul in writing those verses is this, that there were people who did not believe that the Christians would rise again from the dead. And the apostle says this, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He says, if it's the case that Christians are only living for the here and now, then they're not very exciting people, to be perfectly honest with you. And so they're probably pretty miserable. If Christians are only living for this life, then they haven't done all of the fun things that everyone else is doing. It's not wrong to call sin fun, because if it wasn't fun, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It is fun. It is attractive. It does grab us. It does capture us. It does draw us in and eventually ruin our lives, but we wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. And the Apostle Paul says, if we are just living the Christian life in this life only, that makes us of all men most miserable, because we haven't lived that sinful life and then we're going to die like everyone else anyway. But he says we're not living for this life only. We're living for something future. And that is why the Christians, generally speaking, don't do the same things and go the same places and participate in the same things as those round about us, because we're not living for this life. If you're a Christian, don't ever think that living for God would somehow rob you. That somehow you would be, just because you're not popular doesn't mean, you know, that's the end of the world. He says, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in that little four-letter word, what he promises is eternal life. Life with God. Life in heaven. Life that never, ever ends. And life which doesn't just see me go to heaven and be there forever and ever and ever, but life which is promised to me will end up with me with a glorified body, that I'll be raised again from the dead. That little promise that he makes in John 11, that's true for me as well. True for you if you're a Christian, that one day, you know, you won't just float off to heaven and stay there forever. One day you'll get a body. It's not broken anymore. And the Lord Jesus says, but no one comes to the Father but by me. He says, there is a place in heaven prepared. There is a promise that I have made you, that if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But you must make it a priority. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. I cannot be ready for heaven. I cannot have peace with God. I cannot have sins forgiven according to the Lord Jesus, except I go by him. Except I go by a Saviour who has lived a sinless life, but who at the cross of Calvary has died in my place. A Saviour who has suffered the tremendous wrath of God against his own soul. Who has declared at the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Who was buried, and men looked at him and said, well, he's finished, is he not? Said it himself. But a Saviour who's been raised again from the dead. And because he's in heaven today, I have the sure and certain hope that I will be there too. I was at two funerals last week. One of a Christian and one of a person who you just couldn't be sure about. I can't say with any degree of certainty whether she was a Christian or not. But the difference at the graveside is remarkable. Because the person who's not a Christian, they're put into a grave. Or no, they'll be raised again from the dead, but they'll be raised again to judgment. The person is put into a grave who is a Christian, you know what they're able to say about them? They're able to say things like this. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. They're able to say this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. They're able to say this, that person was being buried with the sure and certain hope of resurrection from the dead. Able to say words like this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And able just to put that little heading above it. We do not grieve as others who have no hope. Let not your heart be troubled, says the Lord Jesus. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Maybe you're sitting in the benches this evening and you're thinking, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, we do give thanks for thy Son tonight. And for the promise that he gives, that those who do come to him are those, our Father, for whom he has prepared a place. Father, we know tonight that there are those in this world who have not yet received him. Perhaps, Father, some in the room tonight who have not trusted Christ as Saviour. And Father, we pray that they might come believing. Come believing, come believing. Look and live. We pray, Father.